Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you don't need me to tell you that attempting to buy a home is stressful, but perhaps even more so if you're doing it on your own. Yeah, close to 30% of purchases are made by solo buyers. This is an experience the Irish Examiner columnist Jennifer Sheehan has had. Afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Let's start with the banks. Did they, when you went into the banks at the start, they didn't go, "Where's your husband? How dare you come in here, you cheeky lassie by yourself?"
There might have been a few sneaky looks at my left ring finger. But no, they didn't laugh at me outright. Now, I did apply. I went through the online process just to save myself the embarrassment of going in on my own. But they didn't laugh at me outright. But it was, you know, there was a few extra hoops to jump through. I mean, first of all, getting to a point as a single buyer where you can afford the deposit, where you can afford the mortgage repayments, having been, you know, having paid for rent as a single person for a long, long time, 14 years in my case, is a longer road, surely, you know, because you've only got one salary coming in and everything costs pretty much double. And then when it came to the banks, you know, by the time I had all that together, there's a couple of extra hoops to jump through. So it's less secure for a bank. Obviously, you're on your own. If something goes wrong, it's all on your back. And for them taking on a risk, you know, that's not what they want. They want a second person to be there to pick up the slack. So it's just, it's not easy.
Yeah,
people are doing it, but it's not easy.
What were the additional hoops that you were to jump through that perhaps a couple wouldn't have had to?
So I had to get I had to get somebody to act as a guarantor. Now, I was trying to go back through my documents on this. I don't think it was an official guarantor letter because nobody had to sign an official form or anything. But I did have to get a parent to write a letter to say if everything went wrong, that, you know, they would step in and they would help. Now, that it might not be possible, won't be possible in, you know, not only my own parents' situation, but most parents' situations, especially with the prices as they are now. So, you know, I don't think banks are doing that anymore. And I don't think it was a letter that was actually an official one. But that was one thing that I had to jump through. And then, of course, you know, all your proof of spending, all your proof of funds has to cover what you will pay on that mortgage on your own. So you're looking at one, you know, salary, one mortgage protection insurance payment, one savings account for the down payment. You know, it's a lot to pull together for one person.
Yeah, though I suppose, well, if a couple is doing it, then, and, you know, then that's two sets of documentation they have to get. So it's maybe slightly strange. At least you knew what you were spending. You didn't have to go asking, you know, Tommy, and you really only spend so much a year on beer kind of thing.
True. And why is that Paddy Power slip on your bank statement? There could be some nasty surprises there too. So I'm sure not everybody finds it easy. But if you're thinking about approaching it as a solo person, not only do you have, you know, you've decided to buy, you've pulled together your deposit, which is not easy when you've been paying rent as a solo person for a very long time. You finally pull together your deposit. You're going out looking. Everything you do then is you paying for it. So your solicitor's fees, your broker fees, if you have one, as I said, your mortgage protection insurance, if you're going for it. And then as you bid, you know, there's a certain amount of money in the pot and it's finite. You're not pulling from, you know, from the money tree like some of the renovators on Grand Design seem to be able to do every now and then. So if, you know, if you're bidding, I found myself certainly consistently outbid by dual purchasers because, you know, the amount that I could go up by was finite, very, very finite. And I know that's true for a lot of people as well. And I was lucky to be able to buy it all. But, you know, it took me well over a year. And I sent out a lot of begging letters, you know, so the fabulous Ciarán Mulqueen from Crazy House Prices, he has this wonderful advice that if you're really focused on a certain area or a certain property, to kind of appeal to the human side of the seller and to send a letter as to, you know, why you deserve that house and how you're going to take great care of their lovely house. And you know, it works sometimes because there are good people out there. And but there's all sorts of tactics that you have to employ to
Does
try to get ahead
work?
Of the classes. I think it can in some cases. I mean, I had to reapply for my mortgage after the year, you know, when it expired and everything like that, because I just wasn't getting anywhere. And what I ended up doing was I really laser focused in on areas that I knew I wanted to buy in and areas where I had already been to view houses. So the whole process of getting something checked out and assessed would be shorter. And then I set up an alert on Google with the exact address and the, you know, the neighborhood and all that kind of thing, so that the second that something went online, I got an email and I was on the phone to that estate agent within minutes saying, hi, I will buy this house. I will go sale agreed this week if you can give it to me for asking price. And ultimately, that was the strategy that ended up working because it was a really lovely, you know, two sisters who were selling a house that their aunt had lived in for her whole life, actually. And I really appealed to their nature and put my desperation out there. And that's what ended up working.
Did estate agents care whether you were a single or a part of a couple or not?
Not that I could see, not that I directly felt. I mean, first of all, you have to get an estate agent and get talking to one, which can be hard enough. I mean, I remember trying to view houses and one of them, I had a question about the kitchen and he was outside having a fag. So I don't think, you know, I don't know if they cared, to be honest, whether I was there with somebody or not.
Yeah. Okay. No, only because, they might have a perception that, well, when they're talking to the client, the vendor, that, well, she's by herself. She probably won't be able to, you know, keep going up as much as the couple will.
I can only imagine the conversations that happen like that in the background.
Yeah.
You know, because it is true. And, you know, if you're a single person, if you're a solo financier of this whole operation, then of course your budget is going to be more limited. And of course what you can go up by is going to be less than a couple. You know, it's just less secure, I suppose, from a risk perspective for everybody involved.
Yeah. Now you were going in with the, attitude that you wanted certain areas. You knew you weren't going to be able to buy kind of turnkey condition or anything. You had to go in, you know, you were looking for something to do up. So you had kind of like two pots of money there. Was that kind of nervy, Jennifer, in the sense or did you get someone to come in and say, this is going to cost you X amount to get what you want out of it so that you knew you could afford the renovation?
Yeah, it was so nervy because, again, I had a certain pot and it's always a risk. You know, you can have somebody come in, you can have a surveyor come in and they can look at the house and it can seem fine. And then you never know what they're going to uncover. I mean, my builder, my contractor who did my house, who was fabulous, the house he did before mine, they had found a well in the basement that had just been covered over. Nobody knew about it. Nobody had turned it up. But obviously it was hugely, you know, integral to the foundational structure of the house. So it's always a risk. And I have to say, you know, I bought my house in 2019 and work started in 2020, which obviously came with its own issues. But it's harder now. It's much harder now. Actually, houses at that end of the market, the renovation end of the market, are slower to sell because contracting prices and materials prices and trade prices are so expensive. I mean, I was on, you know, talking to Patricia Power, QS, about this, and she said that it was three times more expensive now than it was, you know, 5 years ago, which is crazy to think about. So I suppose it does mean if you have access to somebody or you're really handy and you're very confident about what you're doing in terms of renovations, potentially you can access that part of the market a little bit easier. It also does preclude you if you're buying, you know, an existing home, existing dwelling, it precludes you from that help to buy revenue scheme, tax incentive, which is difficult, you know, which is a huge lifeline for people. So there are benefits these days to buying turnkey. There are benefits to buying new builds, especially, or to building it yourself, especially. But yes, renovation was what I was looking for. And at the time, that was much more achievable, much more affordable, and got me what I wanted. You know, I wouldn't have been able to afford anything otherwise. But that has flipped on its head a little bit now.
Yeah. After you'd moved in, did people tell you stories about the previous owners?
Oh, I got the nicest story. So the previous owner of my home was a woman called Nancy. And while I've never met her, she passed away before I bought the house. I've heard the nicest stories about her. There was a lovely elderly lady, Annette, across the road, who unfortunately has since passed away. And when I moved in, she came over and she said, you know, Nancy lived here her whole life and it was always a very warm, very loving home. And then when I did up the house, I got a letter from the two nieces who had sold it. After Nancy had passed away, a really lovely letter detailing Nancy's life, a photo of Nancy living there with her little dog, Rusty, you know, stories of when they used to come over and visit. And they had seen my house was on TV in 2021 and they'd seen what I had done with the renovation and they said she would have loved it. And it just made me so happy to hear that. I mean, what a kind thing to do to give that, you know, that gift of, you know, that story for a house. So it really meant the world to me to hear that.
That's lovely. Because the house I'm living in now, it's not the people that we bought it from, but it was the people who owned it before them. Apparently it was party central. And this is not a word of a lie. Today, just today when I was coming up to News Talk, a fellow walked up to me and said, God, we used to have some massive sessions in your house. And we're going, sorry, who are you? But previously, like, someone came up to me and said,
I hope you're keeping that candle lit.
I know, but previously somebody came up to me and says, oh yeah, I know somebody who lost their virginity in your garden shed. Now, we got rid of the garden shed. Pretty pronto. Jennifer, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Jennifer Sheehan there, the columnist for the Irish Examiner.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.